Chapter 11. Amy. I knew it would happen sooner or later, and one night it finally did. The numbness that had encased me since well before, and especially since my husband's death, finally cracked. No, it didn't crack. It shattered. It was maybe an hour or two after I'd finished the late-night feeding. All afternoon, the clouds had gathered on the horizon, and the sharp scent of ozone stung my eyes and nose, and I knew what was coming. I didn't even take Blue out today because I was too edgy, too wound up, and I'd have made him nervous. As I came in from the barn for the last time, a few drops tugged at my hair and slipped under my collar and thudded on my shoulders, and my heart thundered as I pushed open the front door. Thank God for the vodka I'd picked up the other night. I was two shots into the bottle when the lightning came, and two more when the sky broke open. I finally crumbled because it rained that night. Not the kind of rain that whispered in the background like white noise, not the kind where I'd step out the next morning and notice the grass was wet but not actually remember the rain falling the night before. No, this was a brutal, hard rain. Bullets on the roof. Whiplashes against the windows until the gutters choked and sputtered and the splashing on the porch drowned out the wind that tried to get a howl in edgewise. And I couldn't breathe. And the alcohol wasn't enough. And I sat on my bed, knees against my chest and hands over my ears, begging the rain to stop because Sam had died in a storm like this. The pounding drops muffled the thunder until I could barely even feel it, never mind hear it. But through the cacophony of splashing and crashing, nothing, not even shot after shot of vodka, could silence the phantom motorcycle. It was forever riding away, fading like it would eventually disappear into the distance. But no matter how far it went, I could still hear it, could still feel it. Could still sense the resonating purr that no storm could wash away. The words I'd shouted at the slamming door that night were bitter on my tongue, my eyes still stinging and my long-since-healed cheeks still throbbing, and every flash of lightning was the arc of squad car high beams that had come through the living room window just before the news came that I had gotten the wish I hadn't really meant. God, I didn't mean it! You know I didn't. Thunder shook the walls around me, and it was too close to that night, too much like the long, angry hours before I knew Sam was dead. Too close. I couldn't tell the liquor from my crashing sanity, and I couldn't tell the remembered sounds from the real, but I had to get away. Away from this noise that was going to drive me the rest of the way out of my fucking mind, so I jumped out of bed. I didn't know where I was going, what I was doing, only that I was moving. Out of the bedroom, down the hall, across the tiny living room, and out the front door. I felt more than heard the door bang shut behind me, and by the time it did, I was soaked to the bone and cold, and I could still hear that damned motorcycle over the phantom voices that wouldn't stop telling me he wasn't coming back. I dropped to my knees. Cold mud soaked through my already rain-saturated jeans and gravel bit my skin, but I was only distantly aware of it. Water slid between my fingers and down the backs of my hands and forearms and tried to creep under my palms, but they were pressed too tightly against my ears for anything but the sound of rain and a motorcycle to break through. The storm stole my husband's name from my lips, drowning it in thunder and blowing it away into the night, and my throat was raw and I couldn't tell my tears from the rain on my cheeks. Week after week of numbness, and now it broke open with a flood of grief and pain and guilt I couldn't hold back if I tried, and I didn't try because I was drunk and exhausted and broken and not nearly drunk enough. Warmth met my shoulders, surrounded me, pulled me off balance, but then caught me and someone was there, beside me, holding me, speaking over the rain and sheltering me while I shivered and cried and screamed for Sam to forgive me. Warm fingers closed around my wrist and pulled my hand away from my ear, and the shivering and shaking worsened as the storm and the engine reached deafening levels. Amy. My name came as a whisper, soft and gentle, and I couldn't understand how I heard it in the midst of all this unrelenting noise. Tears and rainwater stung my eyes, and I blinked until I could see his face. Faint, warm light from somewhere illuminated familiar features.
"Let's go inside."
Dustin's voice was as soft as his touch. He didn't have on his hat, and water ran through his hair and down the sides of his face.
"Come on."
With his help, I stood on shaking, rubbery legs. The world wobbled beneath me, and I grabbed onto him for balance. My hands only met bare skin, though. Why wasn't he wearing a shirt? Then the world lurched again, and I stumbled, and I forgot about his lack of a shirt or why we were out here, and just tried not to fall as he led me toward the house. On the steps, I stumbled again. My own legs and arms seemed millions of miles away, just like Dustin's voice, but somehow I was sitting on something hard. The rain wasn't falling on us anymore, and Dustin's arm warmed my shoulders. Dustin shivered. He was so warm, but he shivered. No, I was shivering. We both were. My clothes were soaked through and freezing cold, and my teeth chattered as water ran down my face and the back of my neck.
"Are you all right?"
he asked, and I realized his teeth were chattering too. Was I all right? I didn't know. I didn't know anything. But I was shivering. And there was no way he didn't know it. And the sooner he thought I was okay, the sooner we'd be out of this weather, so I just nodded.
"Let's get you inside,"
he said, and helped me to my feet. And after that, I remember nothing. I awoke to a pounding head and raw throat. The roof still purred with the gentle percussion of falling rain, and water sloshed down the gutters outside. Watered-down daylight burned my eyes, and it took more than a little effort to adapt enough to focus on my surroundings. This wasn't my bed. Alarm opened my eyes wider, and in spite of the throbbing in my skull, I looked around. The room was similar to mine, but reversed and with different, unfamiliar furniture. A black cowboy hat hung on the wall beside the dresser. Dustin's hat, the one he always wore. So this was his bedroom then. Dread crept up my spine and knotted in my stomach. The nausea wasn't just from the hangover now. I was in Dustin's bedroom, in his bed. But had we... Slowly, I turned my head. The other side of the bed was empty. The bedclothes were disheveled like someone had been there, but the sheets were cool. Oh God, please tell me we didn't. I racked my aching brain, trying to remember last night, but everything blurred after we had made it to the porch. As nausea climbed my sore throat, I realized my last semi-lucid memory was of him touching me, holding me upright but touching me nonetheless. And I'd been in clothes I wasn't in now. This wasn't my Washington State University t-shirt, nor were these my gray shorts. These clothes were loose, definitely made for someone much taller than me. Broader in the shoulders, too. Warm and dry, though, and soft against skin that had been freezing cold hours ago, and holy shit, how drunk was I? And where the hell was he? And, oh fuck, daylight. What time was it? I looked at the clock on the nightstand. 7:18. The horses. Oh God. I jumped out of bed, paused to let my head and stomach catch up, and then pulled the curtain back. I was beyond certain Dustin and John would be out there looking for me, tapping their watches and shaking their heads, but I didn't see them. And the barn door was open as it always was after the morning feeding, so someone must have fed already. I exhaled. There would be some awkward explaining at some point today, but at least it wouldn't include why the horses didn't eat until after 7. God forbid I get myself fired. especially from a job where I may or may not have gotten drunk and slept with my boss. I didn't feel like I had had sex recently. My knees burned a little, and when I looked down, I remembered dropping onto the gravel. Hope to God that was all it was, and I hadn't earned myself a couple of rug burns on Dustin's bedroom floor. He wouldn't really have done that, would he? Dustin was a lot of things, but I couldn't imagine him taking advantage of me when I was drunk and losing my mind. Only one way to find out. Steeling myself against the fallout from whatever I might have done while I was half-drowned on vodka and rain, I pulled open the bedroom door and went looking for Dustin. He was asleep on the couch, his forearm over his eyes and legs crossed at the ankles on the armrest. And he was shirtless. Oh my God. In spite of my confusion and my pounding head, I couldn't help taking a moment to drink in that sight because he looked even better half-naked than clothed. Smooth, flat abs and a thin line of dark hair leading beneath his waistband. I looked like hell, but Dustin? Heaven in nothing but a pair of jeans. I shivered. Well, at least I know some of my feelings weren't beyond repair. Dustin stirred. Then he lifted his arm off his eyes, blinked a few times, and sat up.
Hey.
Hey. I folded my arms just to give my hands something to do and make up for my lack of a bra. I'm sorry about last night.
Don't be sorry.
He rose slowly, like I was a jumpy horse he didn't want to spook.
And the horses are already fed, so don't worry about them.
Thank you, I said. He tapped his fingers on the sofa's armrest.
So, last night, what happened?
I lowered my gaze. I guess I just had a bit of a breakdown. Right, talk about an understatement. My head hurt too much to even imagine the barrage of questions he probably had waiting for me. Ugh, just thinking about coming up with answers and explanations made me queasy. But the only question he asked was,
"Do you want some coffee?"
"Please," I said. He got up, pausing to stretch a crick out of his back, then went into the kitchen. I followed, alternately stealing glimpses of his beautiful physique and trying not to look him in the eye because he had seen everything last night, and because he might have... No, wait. Dustin hadn't been my favorite person in the beginning, but even then he had never struck me as sleazy or anything. Not the kind of guy who'd take advantage of a woman who was half insane or drunk. But still, I'd been in his bed and I was in his clothes. No one spoke as Dustin poured us both some coffee. We drank in silence, and just the smell and taste of the black coffee were enough to settle my stomach and soothe some of the aching in my temples. I looked around the kitchen. Why am I here? I mean, instead of... I nodded toward the wall that divided my place from his. Dustin shifted his weight, a hint of color blooming in his cheeks.
You locked yourself out.
A chill ran through me. Christ, what if he hadn't come out and dragged me back in? I would have locked my idiot ass outside. Drunk, crying, locked out in the rain in the middle of the night, or crawling up to the other house and begging for a key. Way to look sane and put together there, Dover.
And to be honest, he went on, I was worried. I didn't want you to...
He looked me in the eye for a second, then dropped his gaze.
I didn't want to leave you alone until I was sure you were all right.
I cringed, wondering just how much of a mess I'd really been last night. Bringing my coffee cup to my lips, I whispered, "Thank you." I held the cup tighter, searching it for warmth as last night's chill crept back in. Then I lowered it and made myself look at him. "Okay, I'm sorry, I just have to ask. Last night, did we..."
"Did we what?"
Dustin furrowed his brow. Then he jumped like he had just made the connection.
"Did we sleep together?"
My cheeks burned and I nodded. Look,
I don't remember anything after we got to the porch and...
Of course we didn't,
he said, almost whispering.
Amy, you were drunk and obviously upset. I would never have touched you in a state like that.
My face burned even hotter. I didn't think you would. I just woke up in your bed and in your clothes and I waved a hand. God, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay,
he said softly and paused to sip his coffee. As he set the cup aside with a quiet tap on the counter, he said,
You were soaking and freezing cold. You took a shower and I gave you some clothes. While I was showering and warming myself up, you fell asleep.
He gave a slight shrug.
I figured it would be better to let you sleep.
I appreciate it, I said. I really do. I'm sorry. I honestly didn't think you would have,
Amy.
When I stopped, he smiled and said,
Don't worry about it. You woke up in my bed and couldn't remember how you got there. I'd be asking questions, too.
Maybe, but still, I wasn't trying to accuse you of anything. He smiled again as he picked up his coffee.
Don't worry about it.
I took another sip of coffee. I guess I owe you an explanation.
You don't owe me anything,
he said. But after Amy, he said softly,
if something drove you to break down like that, I'd only be making it worse by asking you to rehash it for my benefit. If you're not ready, then...
He trailed off, shaking his head. I wanted to tell him. I wanted to tell him everything so he didn't think I was completely insane. And damn it, I needed to say it to someone, anyone. But especially him, because he'd been the one to see me lose it last night. Before I could say anything, Dustin said,
Take today off.
He pushed a few strands of hair out of my face and tucked them tenderly behind my ear, his fingertips brushing my face as he did.
Dad and I can manage, but I think you need to catch your breath.
Pride wanted me to insist I was fine, that I needed to get out and work so I didn't feel completely limp and useless. But it took all I had just to keep this coffee cup from falling out of my hands. So I just avoided his eyes and nodded. Thank you.
Whatever it is you've been through,
he said.
I'm sorry.
To my surprise, he stepped closer and hugged me. I closed my eyes as emotions threatened to overwhelm me, especially as he added,
I am so sorry, Amy.
He let me go, and then he left. As the door shut behind him, I exhaled. Dustin didn't even know what had happened or what had driven me to my knees in the rain, but he had been so sweet. My face tingled with the ghost of his fingertips, and I realized then that no man had ever touched me that way. Even in his sweetest moments, Sam had never touched me so gently. My throat ached, my chest ached, my head still hurt. And emotionally, I felt like I had just ripped open every scarred-over wound I'd ever had, and the pain that flowed through my veins bordered on unbearable. This was the most pain I'd felt in recent memory, in years. But I closed my eyes and let it wash over me because, pain or not, I was relieved to finally feel something.